the opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you.
Boy, I'm in a good mood. Anytime you get beer brought to you, it's always a good thing. I want to thank Ryan from 8th Wonder for joining us last hour. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. Also, hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975, you can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first hour, you missed a little beer talk. A lot of sports talk. And you brought up the Fuzzy Zeller comments. I have them here, if you would like to hear them. This is Fuzzy Zeller about 21-year-old Tiger Woods. Apparently, this was from the 1997 Masters. He said, "He's doing quite well, pretty impressive. That little boy is driving well, and he's putting well."
How old was he at the time?
21. Okay. Well, I mean, anytime you use boy and kind of, plus, as I remember the context of it, his voice was pretty demeaning.
Yeah.
So that little boy is driving well, and he's putting well. He's doing everything it takes to win. So you know what you guys do when he gets in here? You pat him on the back and say congratulations and enjoy it. And tell him not to serve fried chicken next year. Got it. Or collard greens or whatever the hell they serve.
They. Oh, Fuzz.
Yeah, so that's kind of where it, you know. I mean, it, and plus, I just remember the tone of it. So, 713-780-3776. Hey, before we get to this Tarantino thing, Larry on the Twitch channel answered, longtime listener, first time Twitcher. I feel weird about being a Twitcher. Isn't that like a Jim Eisenreich thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody remembers Jim Eisenreich. He had epilepsy.
It's inappropriate.
Well, okay. It's not too soon. The guy played 30 years ago.
That's true.
I mean, what is the cutoff for this stuff? Just out of curiosity. When can I not make Jim Eisenreich jokes?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Well, it's too late now. I mean, joke's kind of spoiled when you have to explain it. What's your opinion on top five shooting guards ever? I'd have to do some research on that because, you know, and the other thing I would just kind of say is the way the game's played now, like there's a lot of guys who are probably shooting guards that aren't really shooting guards. Like, what do you call LeBron? Because he plays a lot of positions.
He's a three.
I think of him as a three, but he plays two sometimes. He can play, hell, he's played point guard sometimes.
Yeah.
I kind of think that whole, I don't see the, and maybe I'm wrong, I just don't see as much separation between twos and threes anymore. They just seem a little more interchangeable. But
I mean, top five, I'd have to dig. I mean, off the top of my head, I can give you Jordan, Kobe, D. Wade, and that seems like a pretty safe top three.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would.
Beyond that, you're probably getting into, well, you're probably getting into James Harden. You're probably getting into Clyde Drexler. You're probably getting into Reggie Miller. But,
and see,
I mean, I think that top three is a pretty solid.
Well, what do you consider Steph? A point guard?
Yeah.
He's not really a traditional point guard,
though. He's not a traditional point.
And that's the thing. I feel like,
but he's the guy who's always got the ball in his hand. And which you can argue Harden, that James,
That's the thing. I feel like these guys may play these positions, but they're not really. I mean, I just don't think that it's as easy to define anymore.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because guys do, I mean, they're a lot more versatile. And they do a lot of different things. Somebody says,
what was Tracy McGrady in your mind?
See, I think of him, but see, he's kind of a 2-3 hybrid, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because he played both. I think of him as a shooting guard, but he also played a lot of three. So you guys go to Vegas to cover boxing, but you never talk about boxing on the show. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
We're in Vegas. We have guests all the time. And the reason we talk about big fights when there's big fights. And guess what? There's big fights next week, and we'll be talking about them a lot.
There are big fights next week. You got a feel on who you're going to take in the big fight next week?
Fury and Wilder? I am leaning toward Fury, actually.
I am, too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I hate when we agree on things.
Yeah, that's never... Well, but,
see, but I also thought Fury won the first fight, and you know what? I don't know how much predicting I really need to do yet, or even when we're out there, but I do think it's going to be a fantastic fight. And I don't care what anyone says. There is more buzz about this fight than there has been about any heavyweight fight in I don't know how many years.
I think we're going back to like Lennox Lewis and stuff like that.
It's got and really... I mean, maybe even before Lennox Lewis, because who was really buzzing about Lennox Lewis fights?
Yeah, well, he's the last fights, the last heavyweight fights I remember getting excited about. But maybe back to Evander even?
Yeah, maybe so. But this is and I love it, because I love heavyweight boxing when it's good. And this has got the feel of a massive heavyweight fight. And that's when boxing is at, to me, at its best, you know, when people are interested in heavyweights. And if you're not interested in this heavyweight fight, especially after they had such a great first fight,
yeah,
you're just not a boxing fan. I can't help you.
I've always said that, and it's funny because I think the three sports that dominated for most of the early part of the 20th century were baseball, boxing, and horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
And baseball, people still get excited sometimes, like the home run chase they did. And horse racing, the Triple Crown still has interest. But at boxing, though, when you have a great heavyweight fight, it still brings it all back. And there's just it just hasn't been. I mean, you had the Klitschkos forever. And if you're a boxing fan, yeah, that's fine. But, I mean, and part of it, too, we always talk about what's your influence growing up. I came along at the tail end of Muhammad Ali. Larry Holmes was the guy for most of my youth who was, you know, every Larry Holmes fight was a big deal, just like every Ali fight was a big deal. And... Yeah, this is the first one I can remember since. And then, of course, you had Tyson.
Right.
And that, I think, probably closer to your era.
Yes.
That got a ton of people interested. And then in Holyfield. And, yeah, I guess Lennox is probably wasn't quite on that level. But, you know, his fights were still kind of a big deal. But it really hasn't been that way since then. And Wilder, we talked about this before. Wilder, at one point, is an undefeated heavyweight.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of reasons for why he hadn't taken off. But it's like nobody knew anything about him until these last few fights.
You say there's a lot of reasons why he hasn't taken off. There's a lot of reasons. I mean, honestly, the reason why he has taken off is because he's not really a very good boxer. He's just a brilliant knockout artist.
But see, that appeals to people.
Yeah, absolutely it does. I don't care if you've, like, nobody wants to, especially at heavyweight. Nobody cares how technically good you are. They want to see you knock heads off. And Deontay Wilder, and the best part is Deontay Wilder, he is self-admitted that he's not a great boxer. He's an ass kicker.
After his last fight, he had one of the best quotes that I've heard from anybody describing themselves as a boxer. And he says, my opponents have to be perfect for 12 rounds. I only have to be perfect for 12 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's about right. And
well, I've said before, like going 12 rounds with that dude, it's like playing Minesweeper without ever, like, you're just randomly clicking on the board. I mean, it's you've got to, if you hit, you can dance around it for a while. Eventually you run into one of those things and the game's over.
Yeah.
So it's a great matchup. I love it. I'm excited for this. This is the most excited I've ever been to go to a fight for some time.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And believe me, the tickets are not easy to come by.
Ooh, sucks for you guys.
Yeah. Well, Jason Braddock says, give me Wilder. You two name the bet. I'll tell you what bet I name. I'll be in Vegas to bet it. So thanks, Jason. You know, I don't bet with individuals. Believe me, I squashed that early in my radio career, because do you know how many times if you make a bet with anybody, how many times everybody else is going to want to bet with you about something?
I don't need that.
I got Vegas, I got my bookie. I'm good. So, and you know, Jason, you got my bookie too. Dive right in. 713-780-3776. I didn't get to the Tarantino stuff, did I?
No. We've got a whole show.
We do have a whole show.
What are we going to do?
But you know what? I mean, the show's kind of going fast, and we're having fun. And usually when that happens, I look up at the end of the day and there's like four things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And never got to them. Did I just use it at the end of the day?
At the end of the day, you did.
But I didn't really mean it in the context of it being a cliche, but I guess it kind of works that way. Can I get a ruling on that? Was that a cliche version of it?
No, it wasn't the cliched version.
But it still counts as a cliche,
right? You
weren't
using it to sum up a thought.
Yeah,
it was just
you know
what
I got.
It wasn't the end of the sentence.
I got to throw a flag on myself. I think I deserve a shame bell.
Shame.
Thank you. Tell you what, you don't deserve a shame bell for. If you're in an accident, we were talking about all these car accidents. Lawyer Dave's a guy to call. In fact, I had lunch with Lawyer Dave today. We're over at China Garden, and listen, this guy is incredible, and he's got over 1,200 cases in court right now. That's how good he is. And if you've had any kind of accident, car, 18-wheeler, industrial, workplace, slip and fall, you've had doctor or hospital negligence, he'll take care of you. And if you can't afford a doctor, guess what? If he takes your case, you don't have to worry about it because you don't pay a dime until you win. He doesn't get a dime until you win. That simple. Doesn't charge for his consultation, so if you have any legal question, give him a call. And if he can't answer it, he'll put you with somebody who can if he thinks you've got a case. Based right here in Houston. And plenty of ways to get in touch with him. Give him a call at 713-626-8900 or on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law. You can go to the website as well. If you can't remember any of that, just hit me up on Twitter or shoot me an email, and I'll give you all that information, 713-626-8900. And, guys, I'm telling you, Dave is the best, and if you need a lawyer, he is your guy. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Dude, I'm so excited about this Vegas trip. We have a bunch of friends going. Rogelio's going to be there. Lawyer Dave's going to be there. Eric Sandler's going to be there.
Yeah, we've got some fancy dinner lined up with Eric Sandler.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of interested in this because, I mean, if anybody knows food,
yeah,
it's Eric. So it actually sounds like a lot of fun, too. So, I mean, it's going to be a good week. And got a poker tournament Friday night. May hit the Golden Knights on Thursday, the fight on Saturday. This isn't going to suck. Sometimes our life doesn't suck. Well, you know what? I know you had a story you wanted to get to. I think I want to save the Tarantino stuff because it may go outside of a segment.
Okay.
So,
well, I don't know if you knew this, but in the great state of Virginia, there are some laws that are what some would consider outdated.
Okay.
And if you recall, Virginia is, I think it's like one of the first 10 or 12. I know it was one of the first 13. I don't know exactly when they joined the Union.
But, yeah, they were a colony, right? So they were one of the original colonies. So they're still kind of British.
They've got some old school thinking, though, apparently. And part of their old school thinking is... there's still a law against fornication, which makes it illegal for people in the state of Virginia to have consensual sex outside of marriage. Currently.
You know what? AJ, I think I've broken the law in Virginia.
No, have you?
I'm pretty sure I have.
Not I. Not me. I'm serious about things like that.
Well, I mean, you're talking about just not being married, right? You're not talking about if you're married having sex, like adultery.
Well, adultery is a different crime.
Yeah, no, that one. No, that, I was single at the time.
You were single, but I was you not having sex with another single person.
Yes,
consensually.
Yes,
that's a class 4 misdemeanor and carries a fine of up to $250.
Ooh,
yeah, that's serious crime.
Sure. Damn sure it wasn't worth that.
But they've introduced a bill to repeal what they call a Victorian era law, and it may soon be legalized. They're closing a legal loophole that could charge unmarried people with a crime for having consensual sex. It could be legal in the very near future. And guess what? Other states may follow, including
what?
Utah. It could happen. It could happen.
I have to tell you, I've also broken the law in Utah. I didn't realize it was illegal there. Now, I did wind up marrying that one.
Okay.
But there was
still
premarital.
Now, in Utah, you're punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a fine of $1,000.
Jeez. Well, what's the statute of limitations on this? Because I admit it was...
It's a misdemeanor, so it's up.
Okay, so it was 25 years ago.
Yeah,
we went skiing at Park Valley.
In Utah, it's a Class B misdemeanor.
Okay, that's not good. What if I don't go to BYU?
Still against the law.
No, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. But the good news is, in the near future, you'll be able to have consensual, unmarried sex in both Virginia and Utah. So congratulations, America. You're right there.
Wow.
You're right there.
somebody says, what state has Fred not had sex in? A bunch.
Texas.
Lately, yeah.
What's the statute of limitations on that?
Months. But I traveled a lot. There was a time when I added up like 46 states.
That you've been to?
Yeah. That I know I've been to. No, not that many, but a lot of times I went with somebody. And, you know, I don't know how many. I haven't even really thought about that. I'd have to. We used to have some running things that we did, like try to hit the alphabet bet, every letter in the alphabet. First or last name.
Good for you.
But never really thought about, every state.
I've had sex with one person ever, so I don't have to worry about the crimes
for the
that
last,
committed.
For the last, 14 years or so?
Forever.
Okay. But no, I mean... Back when I was young, we did fun stuff like that. Now I'm old. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm just, you know, looking for Pornhub and a glove. Let's get Philip on. What's up, Philip?
Sports, fellas.
Sports to you, sir.
Yes, sir. My daughter is having a destination wedding next weekend in Vegas. So I'll be there for the fight, but I won't be at the fight. I'll be at the wedding, of course.
Oh, to hell with
but
that
I
wedding.
Just wanted to know this is... This is my first time going, so I just want to know, is it a couple of spots I need to hit? You guys have some suggestions on that?
Yeah, you know what, Philip? If you go to Sports Map and search Vegas Degenerates, there's a story on there that I lay out all the places that we go. And, I always kind of send people that because it gives you – I mean, basically, it's what we like to do there. But I will tell you, Burger Bar at Mandalay is one of our favorites. Peppermill for breakfast if you're looking for food. The best sports book is Legacy's, although that new one at Park MGM is really good, but it doesn't have horse racing, which is my negative. And yeah, I honestly, you'll laugh at me, I like the sports book at Excalibur because it does have a lot of racing, and there's never anybody there either.
And it's old and raggedy, and like missing cup holders and stuff, but They've got more TVs than the MGM Sportsbook does. Way more TVs, in fact. Mm. So, yeah, that's my biggest complaint. And I love the MGM. I love staying at the MGM. My biggest complaint is their sportsbook is kind of meh. Like, for a game-watching experience. I mean, it's a fine experience if you're betting there. But for actually, like, sitting down and watching games... Yeah, I'm with you. I'd rather sit at Excalibur.
Yeah. Plus the poker room's right there.
And also Excalibur has put a $5 blackjack table in the sports book. So you can sit there and play blackjack while you're watching the games.
It's the only thing I don't like about the MGM sports book is it's kind of crowded. It's always crowded because there's always people in there. And there's not a lot of room where the seats are. And I always go sit at the end where the horse seats are. And so there's always room there because nobody cares about horse racing. But if you do like horse racing, I actually think Excalibur's better. Actually, Bally's is my favorite for that because they still have a separate race book.
Yeah.
That's right next to the sports book. Mandalay's really good, too. But it just depends on what you're into.
Mandalay's a badass sports book.
It is. That's just a cool-ass casino. I got a good poker place. Room. And you know what? It's still not that crowded ever since the incident there. It's coming back, but it's still not there. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776.
Dante on Facebook wants to know if you guys are actually going to do the debate with RJ over Bill O'Brien that we were talking about a couple weeks before the Super Bowl. Or if it's going to fall by the wayside.
I don't even remember. You're going to have to refresh my memory on that.
I don't either.
Is he going to try to convince us that Bill O'Brien's a good coach?
I think so.
If you could go back and find out what exactly we were supposed to do, I'll be happy to do it this week. I just don't remember. I can't remember last week asking me to go back months like that. Come on.
Who knows? All right. I got to tell you guys about Pajamagram. Valentine's Day is on Friday. This Friday, if you can believe it. If you're like me, you're unprepared for what's coming. You don't know. Okay, what are you going to do? Who's going to save the day? Pajamagram, that's who. With a brand new technology that's going to drive your lady wild. Micro Velvet, created by the PJ experts at Pajamagram, found only in their Tempting Touch PJs. These are simply the softest, most luxurious pajamas ever imagined. They're addictively soft, so soft they beg to be touched. Go to Pajamagram.com, get the blissful comfort you know she deserves. This is a high level of soft, guys, the highest level of soft. They're relaxed and aware, irresistible to touch, and when she's happy, you're going to be happy, period. Valentine's gift has never felt this tempting. Plus, no need to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging delivery by Valentine's Day, guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com today. That's Pajamagram.com. Tell them AJ Hoffman from ESPN 97.5 sent you.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Yeah, I'm thinking at some point I'm going to have to go in and I'm going to update that Vegas story because I don't really mention Bally's. And, yeah, that's where I stayed for the series. And they've got some good poker tournaments there. They're like the Mandalay ones, only it's $100 or $120 instead of $60. So you get usually two tables, maybe one, and lots of chips, lots of play. So I like that a lot, and pretty good poker room, so I need to add that. All right, guess who we have? Couldn't join us yesterday because he was probably talking his kids out of trouble. It is the legendary Lance Erline. What's up, buddy?
Well, I mean, you pretty much have that right. I wasn't talking him out of trouble. I was finding out how much trouble he is about to be in with me.
Uh-oh. That doesn't sound good.
Well, it sounds like a Monday, a Tuesday to me, or a Monday. Sounds like a...
Hey, you can't keep these kids under control, man. What the hell?
Well, that's what I got to know these things so I can keep them under control.
Well,
I get this information.
I wanted to ask you, are you disappointed... Or were you frustrated being left out of Roughnecks coverage? That all your partners were out there working and you were just uninvited?
I mean, I would be if I wasn't working for the biggest sports operation in the country.
Listen, 97.5 is big. I wouldn't call it the biggest, but, we're working on it.
Right. Well, 97.5 kind of owns the Roughnecks. Well... That we own the coverage for the Roughnecks.
That's true.
Put it that way. No, I didn't feel left out, but I was glad for those guys. I was glad to hear Granato. I was glad that Andrew Carlson over the weekend pulled Granato's calls, a couple of calls for us. I was glad that Dell and I opened up by the show by busting his balls for the whole first segment about some of his calls. It's like I told those guys, you know, I kind of joke around that I want to crush the XFL, you know, do the whole NFL thing. The fact is, I'd love it if they were good. I'd love it if the XFL took off and we had another sport to really get into, because this is what happens in, I think you might be familiar with this, AJ, like in the Portland area. You know, they're really, really into the MLS.
Yeah.
Really, really into it. Now, all they have in Portland is they're Oregon Duck fans of football. They're Portland Trailblazers fans. And then they're fans of, you know, the Timbers or Sounders or whichever one
Timbers,
they have.
Timbers, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it would be cool to have another team that you could look into. Now, I don't know that, you know, I'm not sure the Dynamo would love it. I'm not sure that the Rockets would love it, truth be told. But it would be great if it turned into something. The only thing it can be to me is a feeder league into the NFL. That's the only long-term viable solution, because it is going to be hard, I think, to keep ticket sales where you want them to be and keep television ratings up. But we'll find out. But I hope, you know, I hope it works. And I think there are some players in the league. I recognize a lot of the players. There are some players who are going to bounce back into the NFL from this league. I do firmly believe that.
Yeah, it's actually my column for tomorrow is, you know, hey, it's easy to do the first week if you're a startup league. It's what you do right next. But I don't know how much you got to watch, but Sean Oakman still looks like he belongs in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I thought Philip Walker, PJ, well, I guess he goes by PJ here, but, you know, he's kind of an interesting guy that I think could make it back and be a third, you know, a third-team quarterback, just somebody who could be on the roster. But there's a lot of guys. There's a guy named Jaron Jones who was a defensive tackle at Notre Dame that, you know, was fairly acclaimed at one point. And he's transitioned over to offensive tackle from defensive tackle. And I just think you're going to have I would love to see the NFL. Now, it would take a partnership agreement, because right now it's really nothing more than agents have to control this. But I would love to see guys who are on the practice squad that you want to develop turn into, you know, legitimate players in the XFL and have a chance to bounce back this way. But there are guys who have been in the league, who have played there, and who are caught up in the numbers game, and we'll see if they make their way back. I'm kind of with you, though, Fred. I want to see how week two does, and maybe more importantly, week three. Yeah. Because we saw the AAF lose some steam after week one, and then they didn't even make it to week three. So I'm really interested to see how the TV ratings hold up by week three, week four.
Well, on the original XFL, too, it blew up the first night and then just went downhill from there. So it's kind of the history of these things. So where are you at on your draft work right now, and have you dug into Joe Burrow yet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I finished Joe Burrow about a month ago, maybe. It took me over 5 hours to get Joe done. I'm at 316, I guess, out of 500. And right now, I'm just specifically working on the rest of the guys for the combine. So by the time the combine is ready, I will be done with, I guess, 360 players, maybe. And Joe Burrow is a really interesting prospect, because I went and took a look at a data map, and it breaks down his throws to four quadrants of the field, really five quadrants: left sideline, left middle, between the hashes, right middle, and right sideline. And what I found in this heat map is that Joe's weakness, because I was looking and to see, does he have any flaws in terms of types of throws he struggles with, and I found it. It's the intermediate pass between 11 and 20 yards outside the numbers, meaning, you know, sidelines, true sideline throws. And he was 21 of 43 on those throws, under 50%. And so I pulled them all up on tape, because it can sort them and find them very, very quickly, and I got to watch them one by one by one. And what I found was what I expected, which is that he really does not have that type of arm. He has to throw with a lot of anticipation. He really struggles to throw the field side, which is the wide side of the field. When he has to make those throws, he doesn't have a big arm. The ball will nosedive on him. I went back and watched similar throws in 2018, and it's the exact same thing. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons he struggled in 18 is because they had him an offense that asked him to do that quite a bit, and that wasn't his fit. And so what I realized in seeing all the good stuff and then seeing this issue is that you really do have to have him in the right offense, where I think Tua can fit into a variety of offenses and be okay. And I think Joe Burrow does certain things better than Tua, which is why I have a higher grade on Burrow than Tua. But Tua can play in a variety of different types of offenses. He's not really encumbered by any physical limitations. Joe Burrow, there will be people, especially Bengals fans and probably some LSU fans, who will argue with me ad nauseum. And if I flipped on those 43 throws, they would be disingenuous if they continue to argue against me in that particular area. Joe Burrow has a below-average arm by NFL standards. So you have to manufacture a system and a scheme that asks him to throw the throws he's good at and diminishes, you know, his need to throw those throws that I just talked to you guys about. If you do that, he's going to be in good shape, as long as you also protect him. You throw Joe Burrow into a situation like Sam Darnold with the Jets, it's going to be problems. There's no quarterback that can survive what Sam Darnold is currently put into with the Jets. And that's why I really hesitate with all this Joe Burrow's the next this guy and Joe Montana and Tom Brady. You better, I mean, Joe Montana had a lot to work with in San Francisco. He had a lot to work with. There's a lot of help for Joe Montana. And if Joe Burrow gets all that stuff, great. Absolutely. But, I mean, I don't know that the Bengals are the team that's going to put everything around him he needs. Do they? I don't know. Do they have that reputation?
Well, knowing what they have right now, knowing that A.J. Green is probably coming near the end of his run as a Bengal, and knowing Zach Taylor, the coach, how do you feel Joe Burrow fits there as far as, you know, needing a good spot that will fit what Joe Burrow does? Do you think Zach Taylor is a guy who can fit things for Joe Burrow?
Well, so I think that's a pot. Actually, I think Zach Taylor on the surface is a positive. He came over from McVay's system. He's a former college quarterback. I think he believes in the type of system that Joe Burrow needs. He's a younger coach. He's not going to try to fit, you know, square peg in a round hole or whatever the saying is. He's not going to do that. He's going to look to put Joe in a situation to succeed in something that he does well. The question is going to be, do they protect him well enough, and then do they get the right pieces around him? I like Tyler Boyd, for example, but like you said, A.J. Green is, you know, he may be starting to wind down what and who he's going to be. I think they want to get rid of Joe Mixon, which is one of the reasons they drafted Rodney Anderson and Travion Williams last year. And so they really need to, I think if they draft Joe Burrow, they really need to make a concerted effort to go find a veteran wide receiver, even if it's a guy who's a field stretcher, because Joe does throw with good timing on deep balls, and he's very accurate. At least this year, he was on his deep throws. And then you're going to get Jonah Williams back on the offensive line. You know, it's just that while Zach Taylor probably knows what he wants to do and what he needs to do, my question would be, do the personnel people understand what they're going to have to do for Joe Burrow? We'll find out. I mean, and that's assuming he goes to the Bengals.
Lance, when you're evaluating these guys, how hard is it when you consider that no matter where they go, and I'll throw Tua into this too, they're not going to have the weapons that they had in college. I mean,
right.
The Burrow had how many number one receivers? So did Tua. Good offensive lines, elite running backs. They're never going to be in that situation again. So how do you take that and how it's going to translate to the NFL?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because when you watch it, if you just sit, and so I learned this actually, I hearken back to the old fun and gun days with Steve Spurrier, because Danny Werfel could, and really all the Florida quarterbacks for a while were lighting it up, and Jaquez Green is scoring touchdowns, and Reed L. Anthony, and it was just like, wow, these guys are going to be great pros, and then they don't turn out to be pros, and what you find out is they're just running to space. Like, they're fast guys who are running to wide open spaces, and a quarterback is just dropping it into a wide open space. That's not NFL football. That's not what it's going to be like. And so you find out, you know, when you process all that and you remember all that and you reach back to it, I can't go throwing to wide open Henry Ruggs or Jerry Jeudy or Devontae Smith. That doesn't move the needle for me. I do want to see you throw to guys deep in stride. I want to see you keep them in stride. I do want to see deep ball accuracy. Baker Mayfield did a lot of that with Dede Westbrook at times, and certainly Marquise Brown and CeeDee Lamb. So he had a lot of opportunities to throw to wide open guys. I think the one difference between so what you have to do is there's a good chance that you could be running up in matchups. Like, how many times did LSU did they see their wide receiver core trumped by the defensive backs they played? Zero times this year. None. Alabama, zero times this year. The closest they probably came was, frankly, LSU was, you know, a pretty close matchup. The problem was their quarterback, Tua, had a high ankle sprain that he was still dealing with. So when you look at that, Fred, you have to go look for certain types of throws. Go look for them reading coverages. Go look for them getting through progressions, finding the right throw, making certain, you know, not being hesitant to make certain throws to the sideline between the cornerback and the safety in the cover two bucket. You have to go find certain throws that are NFL throws and not get enamored with throwing to wide open wide receivers down the field. But my big concern with Tua when I finished watching him was exactly what you talked about. I am a little bit concerned about how he is going to respond if he doesn't have plus talent around him at wide receiver, because he's just been spoiled with it there. And the one thing you know about quarterbacks who have not had that around them, like, you say whatever you want about Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert didn't have a lot of help at wide receiver while he was there at Oregon. So he'll be, when he gets to an NFL team, there's a chance that Justin Herbert could step into a situation that is substantially better for him in terms of competition of wide receiver versus defensive back than what he had at Oregon. And so that's one thing I don't think anyone ever factors in. He's going to get better, much better receivers and guys who get open much better than what he had at Oregon. So, you know, you got to factor that kind of stuff in too, the other way around.
Who's the guy who, no matter where, what team he lands on, a guy that you know 100% is going to be an impact player? Who's your surest bet?
I'd say Derrick Brown from Auburn. Derrick Brown was so good this year. He's just physically dominant. He's a big guy. He's very physically dominant. He rarely took plays off this year. His motor got much better than last year. And I just think Derrick Brown is built for the NFL. I think Chase Young fits that mold too, but he's not as skilled as he needs to be. And you can take him away a little bit with some chip blocks and slide protection to him. To me, Derrick Brown, run and pass, is going to be really, I think he's just going to be a big problem. And he can play in a 3-4, he can play in a 4-3, he can play 5 technique, he can play nose, he can play the 3. And he can play so many positions in both odd and even fronts, and he can impact the pass rush and the running game. So I think Derrick Brown would be my answer to that question.
Who's the late first rounder that's going to inevitably end up with the Patriots or Ravens or Niners and Chiefs, and everyone's going to go, oh, how did the league let him fall to one of those teams? Who's that guy?
Oh, man. You know what it could be? It could be DeAndre Swift could end up being like a Chief. And I could see the top running back on the board, DeAndre Swift, falling because teams just, you know, there's a run on tight end. I mean, there's a run on tackles and a run on quarterbacks and a run on wide receivers. And watch a guy like DeAndre Swift, who's a really good running back who doesn't have a ton of tread off the tires, watch him slide all the way down to, like, the Chiefs. And they just say, oh, look what we found. Just another offensive weapon to plug into what we're doing. And then we'll focus on, you know, the rest of our needs down the road. Because that is one area that they really could stand to upgrade at running back. And, you know, there's a school of thought now that why don't you just draft a running back as late as possible in the first round and just chop up that contract for 5 years, put him on a franchise maybe for 1 year, and then let him go. Use him as much as possible for 4 or 5 years and then on to the next one. So he could be that guy. I know that's not really a sexy name, but I mean, it is, but you know, one other guy that I would say maybe would be Cam Dantzler, who's a cornerback from Mississippi State, who's got that long Stephon Gilmore type of Patriots thing they look for.
Which of the teams, you know, like Redskins, Lions, Giants, who are picking after the Bengals and before the quarterback-hungry teams, which of those teams can you see trading out, and who could you see trading up to make sure they get the quarterback that they want?
Oh, Carolina could trade in, and the Lions could trade out. And I've heard that Matt Rhule really likes Joe Burrow. So if the Bengals, you know, if the Bengals want to do whatever they want to do, then that's fine. I don't think it's going to matter. But if somebody gets excited about Tua, then a team's going to come up. And the Redskins could move out of two, but I don't think they will. So to me, the Lions at three, and I've been plugging in Jeffrey Okuda to them, I think they could move to seven and still potentially land Okuda or another really good player. So let's just say a team like the Colts or the Panthers or even maybe the Dolphins who get a little nervous. I think there is a decent chance that if Tua has a good combine, and his, including maybe most importantly his medicals, then all of a sudden we could see a rush to get to the number three spot in the draft. And if that's the case, the Lions would be stupid not to move back and take picks.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench in the mornings and joins us usually on Mondays, but we're happy to have him on Tuesday this week. Great stuff, and follow him on NFL.com. It's always cool when I'm watching NFL Network and there's a little scroll at the bottom and it has Lance Zierlein's latest mock draft. So go and check it out. Lance, appreciate the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Headed back to
you. Headed back to you. May I have everyone's attention?
You're listening to The Blitz.
Rock and roll, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Feel the roar with the Houston Sabercats Saturday, February 22nd, as they take on Old Glory D.C. at 7 p.m. Tickets start at only $20 at the new Aviva Stadium, which features the best seats in the country, and two bars stocked with plenty of cold Carbach beer. At 5:57, we'll take caller 5 to 713-780-3776. You get two tickets to the game plus two VIP meet and greets with Barry. Is that Barry Laminack?
Barry Warner.
Barry Warner?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with Barry Yamanash. And Sabercats players in the locker room before the game, plus pregame field passes. Visit HoustonSabercats.com for tickets and game details. Haven't been to a Sabercats game yet, but the wife has been to a couple. She enjoys it. Going to have to check that out at some point, but I'm going to do the Roughnecks first. Okay, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Guys, we don't agree on a lot of things, but can we agree that pizza is awesome?
Yes.
Aaron?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Is there anyone on the planet who hates pizza? Well, I don't want to be friends with them if they do.
Arkansas milk.
Mm. Vegans.
You can get vegan pizza, though.
Yeah, but is that...
It's not good to you and me, but I bet to them it's delicious because it's still pizza.
What do they use for cheese?
Well, cheese is a vegan thing, isn't it?
No, it comes from animals.
I don't know. I don't know what vegans do, but
they don't eat anything that comes from animals.
Well, I thought they just didn't eat any animal flesh.
That's vegetarians.
Okay. Well, whatever. My son's a vegetarian then because he eats cheese pizza.
Okay.
All right.
Is he a full blown vegetarian?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, is it a morality?
He just did it as a lifestyle choice and seems to enjoy it. So.
What a weird.
Yeah. Well.
Ugh. I got questions about that kid now.
They came over this weekend, him and Katie, and Katie got to watch the last four episodes of The Boys. She totally loved it.
It's a good show.
So he only saw the second four, and he liked it, but it's like, you should have seen the first four.
Has your wife seen this news?
What's that? Oh, geez. Is this bad Canadian news?
Edmonton center Connor McDavid is out indefinitely with a knee injury. Isn't that her guy?
That's her guy, yeah. Yeah, he's the one that all of Canada seems to think is the best player in the league. And I'll just say the hockey media is very biased toward Canadians. You know what? I don't think the gap between Connor McDavid and Auston Matthews is nearly what they think it is. And Auston Matthews is Merkin. Anyway, back to your pizza.
How many rings do those guys have compared to Ovechkin?
He has one to their zero.
All right.
He's also been in the league for considerably more years.
Who scored more goals?
He's also been in the league considerably more years.
Game over.
Yeah, he's like, you know, the guy's 50 years old. Come on. All right, let's get back to the pizza before we get too late here. The number of hospitalizations in the United States involving pizza rocketed by more than 50% in 2018. Whether it was caused by falling downstairs while carrying a delivery or someone slashing a finger with a pizza cutter.
Oh, no.
There were 3,800 visits to the ER related to the tasty Italian food.
That's too bad.
This
dangerous.
This is from 2018's the study. That compares to 2,300 injuries in 2017. They were doing this in honor of National Pizza Day. The highest number of injuries since they started counting them.
Oh, it's too damn hot.
Findings were based on medical records from an extrapolated sample of 100 emergency departments across the country in which the word pizza was included in doctor's notes. Some of them included a 17-year-old man poking the roof of his mouth with a fork while eating pizza, an 18-year-old woman swallowing her tongue ring after feasting on a slice,
no.
And a 21-year-old woman preparing a pizza who slipped with a bread knife in her hand. Let this be a lesson. Just order the damn pizza.
Yeah.
That's better. And
making their own pizza, you weirdos.
And you know, what are you doing with a fork with a pizza?
That person deserves to get hurt, honestly.
Got to say so. But that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Husker Jeff says, there are vegan cheeses. Being a vegan myself, I can attest to the fact that vegan pizzas suck.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, you're a Pink's guy, aren't you?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, Pink's Pizza has it. The guys over at Mellow Mushroom have one.
The wife found some new place that we've ordered from the last two times. It's fantastic, and I wish I could remember the name of it. I like District 7 Pizzeria. I think they do a good job. I still like Fuzzy's down here on Westheimer. I haven't been there in a while. But I'll figure out where this place is because it's, yeah, it's pretty good. There's still nothing that compares to Pie Society in San Marcos.
That's a good place.
That is the best pizza I've ever had.
I think they made they created a second location somewhere.
Did they? Well, they need to put up one in Houston. Put one down in East Downtown. Everything's happening down there. Need some pizza to go with it. All right, guys. Hey, if you've had a bad experience with a business, then you need to visit mybadexperience.com. And here's the deal. This is a site where it's your duty to share the ugly truth about bad business. For $4.99, you can tell all. You might even reach a resolution with the business to compensate you. And this is a real site. There's no fake stars or ratings. There's no ads. This isn't a troll site. Everything's verified. You can warn others and help them before it's too late. And you can post any bad experiences. Make them accountable. This is a site for the consumer. And if you've had a really bad experience with someone, this is your chance, $4.99, get on the site and put it on there so that other people don't suffer the same fate. And even if you reach a resolution, that's going to stay up there. So they're going to know, hey, these guys did this, then they reached a resolution with this, or that they didn't. And there's all kinds of opportunities for you to get on here. If you've had a bad experience with an auto shop or a contractor who blew town, all of that's out there. MyBadExperience.com, a paid review is a legitimate review. Stop bad business today with MyBadExperience.com.